Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. Thank you so much for joining us here. This cold and actually it's not too bad outside.
It's nice out.
It's getting better.
It's better than it looks.
You're talking to the wrong person though. I love winter. Like I miss it already.
You're like one of
those. You're dismissed.
What was it? 2 weeks ago, there were some ridiculous dudes walking around, you know, shorts and a beater on, hanging. Yeah, you.
That was me.
You're ridiculous.
I'm 100% sure.
There's something not
sure
right
me.
In your mind.
I had shorts and a sweatshirt on the other day.
Oh man,
I was being laughed at quite a bit. And I did not care.
I was in Texas last week and it was nice.
Way to rub it in, Dan. Thank you.
Yeah, it was awesome.
All right, you're listening live from the Path. We are almost awesome. We are just shy of awesome. Thanks for hanging out.
We're close.
You guys that are hanging out on the chat, I appreciate you hanging with us at Live from the Path. You can catch us every Monday night from 10 to 11 p.m. at livefromthepath.org or on Saturdays at 7 p.m. on 99.3. Those gracious guys at 99.3 KTIA, who we saw eating lunch today. Very creepy.
It was creepy. We were like there for 45 minutes and all of a sudden you're like, hey.
Is that
that's
guy?
Them.
It's the radio like, man.
It is.
He was
right behind us.
He eats a sandwich. That's all I know about him.
I didn't really think
in
he,
his biography
he like,
we've got he eats a sandwich.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great start.
All right. Here's what we got coming up on the show tonight. First of all, 30 Below is in studio. Thanks for coming in, everybody. They've been very patient. I broke a bunch of things, and then I took a long while to unbroke them. But we're ready to rumble now. So we're going to get to know them. We're going to hear a couple songs and just see what's going on in their world. So I'm excited to hear from them. Also, we're moving on. We're on to proof number 40. We're in the final 10, Buva.
Whew, we're close, man.
So we're walking through the 50 proofs on GodIsImaginary.com. Proof number 40 that God is imaginary is understand Christian motivations. I gave you the opening
Ooh.
Salvo last week. This is a good one. So we'll go through it, and we'll
I'm
see
eager.
If it does indeed prove that God is imaginary. So far, God's 39-0, but I'm holding out. I'm holding out that it might come through for him on this one.
I feel like that's the wrong way to take
no,
that.
No, it might happen. He put so much effort into it. There's 50 proofs that God is not real.
That's good, but I think we should be on the side of we don't want that to be true.
I'm leaving him the benefit out that it might come through.
Even a clock's right like twice a day.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, I'm glad we're all siding with him on this one and hoping that he proves that God doesn't exist because that's
just,
the way you're sitting.
We're just saying maybe we've got to process.
You got to leave. If I'm completely closed to it, then this is not fair to this man. If I just say I'm not willing to be swayed.
What's your motivation
okay. here? All right, fine.
Yeah. Short wearer in bad weather.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll talk about that. Also, we'll do some advice. Here's the deal. Is people need help. They're watching Oprah for advice. They're writing in to the Ricky Lake show. I think they canceled Ricky Lake.
I think they canceled Ricky Lake.
Anyway, whatever. They want help, all right? And they say, dear Life from the Path, I need you to help me. And I hope that 30 Below is in the studio to give me some solid advice. So that's – you guys are going to help us out, and we'll see if we can give some – what would you consider better advice than the secular advice coming from other folk who they actually asked the question to.
All right. We'll do our best.
Yeah, that's what's going on the program this week. Again, thank you for joining us. Let's get to know our guests a little bit. This is 30 Below, sitting directly across from me. And why don't you guys just tell me a little bit about yourselves?
All right. Well, my name's Spencer, and we're a sibling band, so I'm the oldest but the shortest. I'm mostly just singing. Chase is teaching me guitar, so hopefully I'll be playing guitar sometime soon. But I'm Spencer, and
I'm Chase.
And then we have Zachary over here, too, who's on the bass tonight. Mostly he plays our drum, and he also plays the keyboards, too. So he plays it.
You do it all.
Yeah, he really does.
Do you have harmonica?
Not yet, but
not
I
yet.
Bought him that for Christmas. So.
He's the one-man band.
Yeah. So, but.
Ukulele?
All right, well, very cool. How long have you guys been playing? So obviously, siblings, you've been together for a long time.
We've known each other our whole lives.
How long have you been playing together? In your current band?
Yeah. As a band, officially as 30 Below, we've been 30 Below for about a couple years. But we've done a lot of music together ever since, like, we were in high school. And that's kind of when we started playing together because we had all been classically trained on the piano, and then in our teen years, we all started picking up different instruments and things like that. So we started forming our band kind of in high school, but officially 30 Below for the past couple years or so.
All right, well, cool. Well, tell you what, let's get right into the tunes. The first song you're going to do is called All This Time. Tell me a little bit about the song and why you like it.
Okay. Well, All This Time is by Britt Nicole, so some of you probably know it. But I just think it's a really great song about, you know, God's really with us all this time. And recently I was singing through the song, and the lyrics that really struck me were in the second verse about every heartache and failure and every broken dream. You're the God who sees. You're the God who rescues me. And sometimes, you know, you're going through life and you have things that disappoint you, and things didn't turn out quite how you had planned them to be. And sometimes it feels like, well, did God really even see this? Does he even care? And it's just kind of that reassurance that, yeah, he really does see and he really does care. And just because your plan A didn't really work out the way you thought it was, doesn't really mean that that was the first plan that God actually had that was the best for you. So, you know, through all this time, and that means good times and bad times, he's still constant. He's still there. So.
Okay, I'm going to throw in what sounds like a random story.
Yeah.
Bart, before you get started, has anybody seen the Rise of the Guardians cartoon thing?
That they I know keep, what you're talking about. No, I've not seen
that. Where like the owl one?
No, that's the Guardians
the
of Gahul. Okay, you're thinking of the Guardians of Gahul.
There.
The Rise of the Guardians is the one that's got it's holiday got, stuff. So.
Yeah, it's got like the Easter Bunny in it, a Russian Santa Claus.
I never saw that.
The Jack Frost.
Yeah. Oh,
do you guys know
yeah.
what I'm talking about? Nobody's
long,
seen any of that?
Nobody's seen it.
Okay, this is the anecdote doesn't work if nobody's seen it.
Okay.
Could you act it out for
I'm
us?
But I'm going to tell you why I thought of it. The reason I thought of it is because one of the things is this Jack Frost becomes Jack Frost, but he doesn't know why. He just kind of – he just woke up one day and he was Jack Frost, and it's the moon that designates what people do in this story. Okay, but like the whole thing, he's going through life and he doesn't know his place, and he doesn't know what he's there for. And it was weird how your eyes when you start watching things, like you start taking in more God-centered or biblically centered things and stories that otherwise you might not have seen, you know, 5 years ago or whatever. But anyway, as I was watching this thing last night with my kids, I actually was thinking that he's talking about the moon, but I recognize that people have the same struggle in their lives. Like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. I don't know my purpose. If you've done something, you don't know ultimately whether it was the right thing. And just kind of what you're talking about would hit me is a weird thing that I pulled away from a cheesy kids cartoon. But it was kind of the same thought. It was very, 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 very interesting to see the movie in that light when it wasn't intended to be there.
I'll watch it. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, let's roll.
We'll
this
watch
is
it together.
All This Time. You're listening to 30 Below on Live from the Path.
Remember the pain. I was only a girl, but I grew up that day. Tears were falling. I know you saw me hiding there in my bedroom, so alone. I was doing my best, trying to be strong. No one to turn to. That's when I met you. All this time, from the first tear cried till today's sunrise, and every single moment between, you were there, you were always there. It was you and I. You've been walking with me all this time. Oh, 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 oh. Since that day, it's been clear to me that no matter what comes, you will never leave. I know you're for me, and you're restoring every heartache and failure, every broken dream. You're the God who sees, the God who rescued me. This is my story. This is my story. All this time, from the first tear cried till today's sunrise, and every single moment between, you were there, you were always there. It was you and I. You've been walking with me all this time. these people asking me, how do I know what I believe? Well, I'm not the same me, and that's all the proof I need. Felt love, felt your grace, you stole my heart that day. All this time, from the first tear cried till today's sunrise, and every single moment between, you were there, you were always there. It was you and I. You've been walking with me all this time. Oh, 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 oh. You've been walking with me all this time.
Great job.
Thanks.
So you can learn more about them if you go to 30belowlive.com or find them on Facebook. And that is the preferred spot because you can like them and then they know that you like them. If you peruse the website like a creeper, they don't know that you were there.
It's impersonal.
They just don't know you were there. So
you're not leaving tracks, you weirdo.
Yeah.
Now, I just liked them on Facebook. There was like a whole bunch of 30 Below stuff, so you got to get the right one.
Yeah, there is. I didn't really realize that. I think they must have all copied or something.
I think they probably did.
That's most likely the situation.
Yeah, so when you're Googling it or looking for it on Facebook, just type the number in 30 and then the word below. And I think that's all you have to type in.
Yeah, sure.
It popped up.
And... Okay, good.
They probably all said, they're like cool, so we better take that name too.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's what I got out of it when I was looking.
You're probably right.
They're cooler than cool. We need to be just like them and take their name.
All right, you're listening live from The Path. Make sure to definitely check them out. Do the search as previously described or go to 30belowlive.com if you want to go the creeper way and check them out. So here's the deal. But if you like the Facebook page, you can get updates when they got gigs coming up, when there's music available, and that kind of stuff. And that will be a good place where you could potentially post a video from live from The Path. Something you could do.
Possible.
All right. Very good. Well, we'll hear more from them in just a little bit. Let's get to the proof.
Let's do this.
Proof number 40. You ready, Booba?
I'm ready.
Okay. Here's what he says. Understand Christian motivations. This is from the 50 proofs that God is imaginary from GodIsImaginary.com. Here's what he says. Here's what we know about God. Bullet point one, there's no scientific evidence indicating that God exists. Bullet point two, there's no scientific evidence indicating that God answers prayer. Bullet point three, if we set up unambiguous situation like asking God to restore amputated limbs, God never answers prayers. Bullet point four, the Bible is clearly the work of primitive men, not an all-knowing supernatural being. And bullet point five, and this is my favorite, et cetera.
Et cetera.
Solid.
Home run.
I feel like that didn't need to be a bullet point. But there.
In other words, God is imaginary. It is obvious.
It is obvious.
Yet, if you talk to actively practicing Christians, Dan, that's you, they ignore all of this evidence. They will tell you that God certainly does exist and that he's answering prayers for them every day. Christian bookstores and Christian magazines are filled with stories of answered prayers. Christians believe that God is reaching down out of the heaven and answering billions of prayers on earth for Christians. Therefore, the question arises. If there's all this evidence showing that God is imaginary, and if there's certifiable, undeniable, I believe he's after deniable.
Deniable, yeah.
Yeah, et cetera. Evidence showing that God never answers prayer, then why do Christians insist that God is real and that God is answering prayers for them on a daily basis? He's going to have us pegged here, boys. What would prompt Christians to make these statements despite all the contrary evidence? To put it another way, what might motivate Christians to ignore the strong evidence that God is imaginary? Here are five possibilities. So see if you can self-identify.
Okay, Bubba. I'll see if I'm
He's
one, gonna one through
five. He's going to tag you with one of these. One of these is you.
I'm going to jump in on it, okay?
Okay, number one. Christians might choose to believe that God is answering their prayers despite the evidence that answered prayers are nothing more than coincidence because they are afraid of death. As described in proof number 27, there is no evidence whatsoever that there is a heaven or an afterlife, yet the prospect of permanent mortality is very uncomfortable to many people. Because of this discomfort, they may have such a strong reason to believe in Jesus' promise of eternal life that they need to support their beliefs with other evidence. Since Jesus also promises that he answers prayers, they are willing to turn any coincidence into an answered prayer and ascribe the answer to Jesus. We're just going to go through these as we hit them. Dan Hudson, is that you? You just afraid of death? So you vented the Lord?
No. As a matter of fact, because I know Jesus, I actually look forward to it.
Yeah.
It will be my best day in life.
Okay, let me propose something to you. Let's say you were under the impression that there was no God. Would you otherwise fear death?
I would I would fear death incredibly. If I thought there was nothing after this, there was nothing, no reason to live, no reason to wake up, no reason to go to bed at night, no reason to do anything. There's no purpose.
Okay, so you're going to fit under bullet point number one of the people he describes who he, potentially you've invented a god because you fear death. So he's at least pegged you as being a man that fears death if there's nothing else.
I see what you're saying.
He may have me. Okay.
Look at here.
He's got me.
Okay. All right, here we go. Number two. Christians might choose to believe that God is answering their prayers despite the evidence that answered prayers are nothing more than coincidences because it's a huge boost to the ego. This explanation works for both big miracles and small ones. Imagine this. Imagine that you have cancer. You pray to God for a cure. You undergo surgery and chemotherapy, and the cancer does go into remission. What cured you? The surgery and chemo. All evidence indicates that this is the case. If God was going to cure you, you would have been able to skip the surgery and the chemo. Yet as a Christian, it is a huge ego boost to believe that the all-powerful creator of the universe cured you. It means he has big plans for the rest of your life. Boova, is that you? You fit into the big ego category?
That is not me. I won't start debunking the proof just yet, but no, that is not me.
Okay. No. Go ahead. What's the issue with this contention?
I think the problem that he's seeing here is the whole obviously it was the surgery and the chemo that that saved you, that cured your cancer and everything like that. That's God. God invented chemo, created the surgery, created the people that performed the surgery, created the people that invented the surgery, encompasses every bit of that. So we're not arguing that that the surgery is what saved you, but God's the one that did the surgery. So.
Well, and then the ego correlation is weird, right? Like,
yeah,
if,
I don't see
if I was cured by God, regardless of how I came to that, right? I was cured by the Lord. I don't think of myself because I'm hot stuff.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I've had answered prayers before, but I'm not immediately like, oh, yeah.
It's not an ego.
God likes this guy more than you,
exactly.
Obviously.
It's more like, I'm a piece of crap.
Yeah. I'm a terrible sinner, and God decided to do that anyway.
Why me? Let me go.
Okay, so I'm going to go with the opposite on that one. I'm not buying bullet number two. So far, he's strong on Dan is in corner on bullet number one. here we go. Next bullet. Christians might choose to believe that God is answering their prayers despite the evidence that answered prayers are nothing more than coincidences because they are afraid of being alone. They need an invisible friend to talk to in order to cope with loneliness. And God is the community-sanctioned invisible friend that is accepted in our society. It may be that, for millions of people, an invisible friend is the only way they can cope with being alone. In order to make this invisible friend seem more real, it may help the illusion if you believe that he hears and answers prayer.
Yeah, but in the footprints poem, there's only one set of footprints in the sand. So I'm still alone.
I'm still lonely.
Oh, wait, no, he's carrying me. Oh.
Okay. I don't know. What do you guys think? 30 below? Reactions to that bullet point?
I mean, sometimes, though, I don't know. You go through times in your life where God's really silent. So I wouldn't really fall under that category to have an imaginary friend. Because sometimes you're praying and it doesn't feel like he's really listening. Yep. So.
You don't have an empty chair in your bedroom?
Hi, Jesus.
Are you going to eat that fried chicken? Because it's been there for 3 days now.
I made you a PB&J. You didn't eat it.
Think about this, though. If I were going to make up an imaginary friend, he would be less hard on me.
Right, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Just to be honest.
If I'm going to come up with an imaginary friend, he's not going to have a set of rules that I need to follow by to be able to have eternal life. He's going to love me, and I don't have to do anything.
Exactly.
I get to be me. And be the fallible man that I am, regardless of...
He wants you to be happy, not holy.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Happy, not joyous.
He would let me do what I want to do.
But I really wanted to go see that movie, Jesus. Please?
No.
Yeah, boy. That's a wild imagination. I need someone to talk to. If only it's a God that created the world and has a bunch of guidelines for me to follow in order to keep myself separated from the world.
They go against everything natural.
Yeah. I feel like exactly.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's likely.
I can't correlate you with anything that's ever been existence before or after you. It's nothing like you. You created the entire universe, but I'm going to go ahead and put you in the chair next to me. So, perfect.
Who isn't bullet number three? Okay, here we go. When we are born, here we go. Bullet number four. When we are born, we instinctively have a place in our brains for an all-knowing, all-loving being. When we are young, this being is called a parent, and children naturally and instinctively bond to their parents. What if a large number of people never outgrew this phase and need to fill this place in their brains with something once they have left their real parents and moved on? In other words, what if this place in the brain remains into adulthood for many people long after it has served its need and people feel lonely unless they fill this place with something? Having an all-knowing, all-loving, invisible friend would be an obvious thing to fill it. If you can heighten the illusion by believing that this imaginary friend answers prayer, all the better. This is a weird one for him.
Yeah.
It's a weird one for him because he's not identified anything scientifically or even philosophically that would otherwise make it so to believe that we have this thing in our mind. Well, first of all, I would also ask, where did that thing come from? Like, what is natural? What is think of it from a development standpoint, right? From an evolution, why would you grow into that type of hindrance, that type of need for having an all powerful, all knowing being that you do not believe exists? Like, that's
right.
Weird.
Right. He's pegging it as an animalistic instinct from the beginning of our our conception.
Accidental birth.
Yeah, accidental birth. Cells aligning perfectly and everything like that. Like I said, he's putting it as primal.
Almost like a God-sized hole in your heart.
Right, exactly. You're born with this hole that needs to be filled, and that's why we have parents, and we just don't outgrow that.
I guess what he's saying is that naturally you do. We may say that there's a God because we are born with that, and it's your parents. But then once you find out that your parents are not all knowing and all loving all the time, you have to find something else.
See, this guy was hurt sometime as a child. And disappointed.
That's how you pegged him?
I pegged him that. A long time ago, I figured he was disappointed in the church or in God. He prayed for something that didn't happen. Probably a parent died, and it probably happened when he was younger, maybe a teenager or something.
He's got these bullet points for us, and you've got one for him?
It's all an extension of how he views God. He's still angry, and I feel bad for the guy.
So I also think like this particular bullet point is also a little weird coming from an innate naturalistic standpoint. Because I'm not sure every animal in nature could look at the parent and say this is an all-knowing, all-loving figure.
Yeah,
no. For a lot of species, one of them just abandons, just leaves.
Right, exactly. It's just it's no longer
tries
there.
To eat you.
Yeah,
yeah.
No doubt.
There are many that are eaten immediately after birth.
My gerbil dad just ate my leg.
Have you ever run into like a runt of the litter? They just leave that thing to die.
Right, it's left alone,
and no one goes. My all-knowing, all-loving parent.
All-loving, benevolent parent just left me. I need a god now. She's like, what?
Okay.
That's a stretch.
Here
that's
we go.
A stretch.
Bullet five, et cetera. No, sorry. That's not right. That wasn't
and
what
so
it was.
Forth.
Et cetera.
Christians might choose to believe that God is answering their prayers despite the evidence that answered prayers are nothing more than coincidences because it makes them the center of attention with their peers at church. Sorry. If you ever watch a group of Christians comparing their answered prayer, you can see how this – have you ever done this? Well, let me finish. I'm sorry. I keep getting distracted. One Christian starts
God,
the conversation.
My toe.
Well, my dog, Binky.
Read the rest.
I had hammer toe.
My dog okay, – this is a hypothetical conversation for a group of Christians in a circle. Well, my dog Binky was suffering from terrible skin sores, and the vet gave me some medicine, and it didn't work when I first put it on. But I prayed to God, and 4 days later, the sores were gone. Praise Jesus. Now, what can happen is a game of one-upmanship. Another will say, well, I was planning my vacation. I had no idea where the money was going to come from. So I prayed to God, and that very day, a credit card offer came in the mail, and the credit line was just enough to cover the bills. Praise the Lord. In such an environment, if you don't have a prayer story to tell, it appears that you have lost favor with God. Therefore, you may be willing to exaggerate a little and even make something up in order not to lose face with your peer group.
Now, I do not deny the fact that that could happen.
Okay.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Do I dare say less spiritual people? I mean, people who don't quite get it, you know, and they're not very mature in the faith. I can see them. I can see that happening.
Okay.
That doesn't disprove God, though.
All right. I think I might have done that when I was like 13.
Right. You outgrew it.
Right. Luckily, I don't sit around and compare prayers any longer.
Okay. I'm sorry. I can't get past the premise here. Right.
Right. So, yeah.
That Christians choose to believe that God is answering their prayers because it makes them the center of attention with their peers at church, a church which is gathering already on the surmission that God is not imaginary, right? Okay. Like, one does not lead to the other.
Right.
You don't create a peer group based upon a living God and then only really believe in him so that you can be the center of attention for stories you tell at said institution.
And this is a perfect case of him not quite understanding the church culture. Is, okay, you have hammer toe, and you come to the prayer meeting and say, man, I have hammer toe. I don't even know what that is. And like,
why do you keep looking at me when you say this hammer toe?
Why do you keep bringing up hammer toe?
You have to look at
the pain in
your
eyes.
He's got the hammer toe.
Why do I have the hammer toe?
God has told me. Anyway, so I'm probably going to be praying for your hammer toe, and I'm going to be thankful with you and be praising God with you when God heals it, rather than saying, oh, man, I can't believe God healed your hammer toe and not my sprained wrist. I mean, he's missing the point
of
the church community.
It's a misconstrued view of the church community. That there are places that this happens. And that's sad to think about, I mean, but that's reality.
We're human. We do
exactly. We have fallibility. We have our flaws, and that's where this kind of stuff can come from.
Yeah, yeah.
A church community where we do have Tommy Toppers in the prayer life.
Do you guys ever do that in the area. Band? You're telling your prayer stories, and you kind of one.
Well, I was like gonna add, you know, that when you're trying to have one up on the other person with their prayers, I think like that just shows the focus is off. You know, well, if the focus is on God, then anybody who has an answered prayer, you should all be excited. So
exactly.
I mean, when one of us succeeds. Just even in our family, because we're all really close. You know, we're all excited. We're all, like, behind each other 100%. So I think if you have the focus on God and somebody wins, then it's a win for the whole team.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like this guy has a pharisaical view of a lot of Christian nowadays, where it's just like, oh, God's done this in my life, and look at all these riches that I have. I'm dressed much better than you are because God loves me much more.
Yeah. That's not exactly what I said.
I never said that you
did. I do dress better than you, but I didn't say that whole thing.
Well, I feel like it was rude to begin with, regardless. is that the end of the proof, or is there?
Oh, no, hold on.
Okay, I was going to say before we
let's finish
break
it.
The rest down. So
here we go. Is this a direct proof that God is imaginary? No.
Thank you.
But it shows that Christians have strong incentives to delude themselves into believing. I'm not sure those are strong incentives.
But I agree with him. We do delude ourselves sometimes.
Absolutely.
We'll stretch things.
Okay.
People do. I shouldn't say we.
What you can say is
way beyond that.
What you can say is that Christians, especially Christians who are members of church communities, have strong reasons to make up stories about prayer and to ignore all the evidence that answered prayer really are coincidences. These motivations completely explain the phenomenon of answered prayers in Christian communities. Now, Abuva, I'm going to turn this over to you after one quick point.
Okay.
The premise of the proof is that this is proof number 40 that God is imaginary. The lead-off in the final paragraph was, is this a direct proof that God's imaginary? No.
Yeah,
no.
I was going to comment on that eventually, too.
I feel like he's going to have to buy a new website that is 49 proofs that God is imaginary. I mean, they're not all not right, but this one is not a proof.
He's even coming out and saying, hey, this proof, not a proof.
He's had about three legitimate things to talk through and question.
Right.
The rest have been repeats.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it's like I said.
He didn't answer
that prayer.
Yeah, that breaks down the whole reason why we're going through it. He has legitimate points that obviously, you know, Christians can go through. Your friends down the street can go through. They're going to come to you and have these kind of questions about your faith. And you know, we've talked about
every
time.
To have an answer.
We need to have an answer for this. It's part of the faith. You have to be able to retort to these kind of things. I feel like... I'm actually really glad you said that, though, because I was about to point on that. But I feel like here's the situation. So maybe I'm just bringing this on me, but I have my faith in God and my belief in Jesus Christ being my Lord and Savior because I'm a terrible person. Because I have been...
Did you say dresser?
I'm a terrible dresser.
Okay.
And then on top of that, because I'm a terrible dresser, I'm a terrible...
Okay,
is that right?
Yeah, I want to make sure that was clear. That's what I heard.
Your clothes is your expression of your inner self.
May not have been a great decision. Who knows?
Okay, you don't need to hang on it. We all get it. Go ahead.
Fair enough. I'm a terrible person. I'm a foul man. I have no chance at having an eternal life and having anything beyond this without God, without my relationship with Christ. His sacrifice is the reason that I have hope, that I have faith and everything like that. And I feel like he's completely missing it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't expect him to get it, by the way. You don't normally talk to someone who doesn't have faith, specifically about faith. It's a difficult subject to touch on. It's just like, well, why do you believe in God? Well, because I believe in God. That's where it comes from. I have faith in God. Well, why? That's kind of where he's missing it. It's just all this stuff, it has nothing to do for most people with the proof. It's not about the scientific evidence of, hey, there's a particle in every one of us that's beside a proton, neutron, electron. It's called the God particle or whatever you want to call it. And that's why I believe in God. There's no summing it down to a scientific principle, to a mathematical equation. It's faith. It's belief. It's the spirit that you have for God. The knowing that You know, I believe there is something missing in a lot of us when we don't have God. I wouldn't say that's a thing that we all run into, where the parents are the ones who break up that fill that void when we're first born, and then God has to fill in for that. I think that as creatures, as beings created by God, you know, being held above all the other creatures and his beings that he's created, we do have that hole in our heart that God fills, that God-sized hole that people long for. You know, the terrible feeling that you get when this is this kind of situations happen, when you lose your parents, when you stub your toe, when you've got hammer toe, or if your gerbil dad bit off your leg, whatever. It's something that I think it makes me sad, because I wish I could just have a conversation with the guy. Like, I really do. Going through these, we laugh and we joke and we say, well, that didn't make sense and everything like that. But I honestly wish he could just come in and just sit down and have a conversation with us.
Yeah.
Not to battle, not to say, well, that made absolutely no sense and et cetera is a bullet point. No, it's we want to break down, you know, what's going on.
He's showing that's what I keep kind of bringing back to is he's obviously have some pain in his life, some disappointment in God, maybe some disappointment in God's people. And those are all real and those are legitimate.
Yeah.
And sometimes we are worthy of the knocks that we get because we're dorks, you know, and that's that human side. So it'd be nice to sit down and have a conversation and say, really, what really is your issue?
Right, what's going on? Let's talk.
We know it's prayer. He brings up prayer like every time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he brings up the Matthew 7:7 quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, and just over and over and over again. It's like, I mean, I can tell you answered prayers that were just answered. I mean, you know, there's no scientific explanation for it. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't, you know, it's just things have happened. And he just says, well, that obviously hasn't happened.
Right.
Well, actually, it did.
I feel like this guy has quite a belief in coincidence.
It just
too.
Did a juke. It did.
It did.
Just so you know, it did.
I feel like this guy has a seriously strong belief in coincidences. It's like, you know, we talk through, I mean, as believers and everything like that with our prayers. I think everybody's got that one answered prayer that they like to bring up whenever anyone talks about, well, this prayer happened, and not to Tommy Top each other, but, you know, this is what happened with me. I prayed, and this is where God came from. And it's, we rejoice in each other for that. We're happy with each other for that. But I really just wish he would come in.
Well,
let's contact him.
So, and, you know, I guess a couple things I was thinking of when you're talking about understanding Christian motivations. The proofs are a very Americanized proofs, right?
Good point.
Right? There's persecuted Christians in other, like, we live a fairly safe Christ following lifestyle in the United States,
right?
Where we have a freedom to believe as we wish. There's a pastor in an Iranian prison at the moment who's in some very bad shape for his Christian beliefs. He's not inventing an invisible friend that he just wants to talk to.
That's a lot of devotion to an invisible friend.
And look at if you ask the Apostle Paul, right? If he's got shallow motivations for following Christ, that guy took a beating and kept on a rolling.
Yeah.
And eventually paid with his life. 11 of the 12 disciples paid with their lives, died violent deaths. Thinking of in John 6, the disciples heard Jesus talking. He's like, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Like, they're like, I don't even know what to do with this stuff. And Jesus, knowing what they said, you know, do you take offense to this? Then that you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before. And he's like, you know, do you want to go away? And Peter's like, to whom shall we go? He's not saying, no, I don't want to go away.
Make a new imaginary friend.
Yeah, he's just saying, this thing is true. There's nowhere else to go. Where else would you go?
Right.
You know, and so, you know, it's the thing that he's trying to prove against it can work in a culturized Christianity. You know, where you're just not seeing any fight and you're inventing things to fit in a mold. You go look at Christians in Middle Eastern countries and you try to pass this off and you see what happens. You know what I'm saying? You make the same argument to that guy. And then we'll talk about what that actually means. It's a very narrow focus, if not true and to a certain extent to some American Christianity. If you just take that a little more global, I think you'll see a distinction in whether you feel like that's a valid point or not.
When he generalizes Christianity, it's just, I feel like he's talking to the people that check the box. Like when you're setting up your Facebook, the whole religion, if you want to choose Christian, sure. And I feel like that's the people that he's getting these kind of statistics from and this kind of stuff. But
and the church has absolutely failed
this generation of creating disciples. We're creating people who like enjoy the show. And we got, you know, people who are just extremely shallow. You know, they're talking about surfacey things. They're not actually reading the scripture and getting into the Word of God and seeing what is the cost of being a disciple, a follower of Jesus. What does that mean? It's like they're not following Jesus. They're just following the cool church at the moment. You know, and if they don't like the next guy, they'll go to the next cool church. You know, it's we've completely failed our next generation in churches, and you know, no wonder our culture is such a, you know, cesspool. Is
because you moved away from the microphone, it's gonna make it sound like you used a foul language.
Cesspool. Because sorry, I did look the other direction.
I'm sorry.
We have failed. We have failed our culture by not being an influence in our culture and being a light for Jesus. And we have created the mess. Everybody complains about, oh, the country's going downhill. It's like we have allowed it to. That's why. It wouldn't be going downhill if people were followers of Jesus. They wouldn't let it go downhill because they wouldn't be doing this stuff. So we have not. We've become ineffective.
Yeah, I would say we've gotten very passive in it. And I mean, like, I had a friend that just recently went over to Africa, and she was just talking about how just things are so different there. And just everything that you have to fight for. When you have to fight for something, you believe it even harder and you stand up for it more. And, you know, here in America, we're very privileged to the fact that we don't get persecuted and we're allowed to, you know, be Christian and go to church and all of that. But we've also gotten very passive about
our idea of persecution, as I was reading tonight on Facebook, is, oh, someone censored my post. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I said something about marriage and they took, you know, John Piper's post away and said it was offensive. You know, it's like, that's it. Take away my Facebook account. I don't care. You know, I mean, I think free up.
Dan will make
time.
Another.
Yeah. I'll make a fake person. I mean, you know, we don't know persecution like you say. We think we do. And it's coming, I believe. I believe very truly it's coming.
I'm sorry, I'm slightly distracted. The chat is talking something about a gerbil dad. And I can't.
It's because of Dan's comment on the gerbil dad being taken away.
Did you say
something
about a gerbil dad?
Yeah.
His leg.
Yeah. He said my gerbil dad ate my leg. I don't know where that came from, but it was the whole.
Well, all right, well, that makes way more sense then.
You think they were just randomly going off talking about gerbil dads?
I mean, I'm going to grant that it's a little late at night, but I thought the chat had gone plumb loopy.
Chad, I'm on your side. I understand where the gerbil dad's coming from.
What are they saying about gerbil dad?
It was, okay, so here's the basic interaction. The chat says, gerbil dad? Question mark. I responded with, gerbil dad? Question mark.
I saw the double there.
And then the next one was, your gerbil dad chews off your leg? Where does that come from? Is there no chat? That was kind of a weird philosophical question. The chat saying, is there no chat? I don't get it.
I'm chatting here.
So I just said, I have no idea what's going on with this dribble dead business. And then I've been waiting for a response. I haven't paid attention to anything y'all saying. I wanted it resolved in my mind, and it's not happening. All right.
Yeah, gerbil dad was a comment from Dan earlier.
Yeah, all right. You made the mistake of listening to Life from the Path. we're on every Monday at 10 o'clock at lifefromthepath.org. Hey, yeah, check us out during the week. You can see clips from past artists on the show. Jesse Anderson's out there. Double J's out there. Cass Lester, who was in last week. And you'll be able to catch the clips this week from 30 Below. You can catch that all on lifefromthepath.org. You can also sign up for the audio podcast. And, you know, I don't know. Do whatever you're going to do. Hey, there's also a list of upcoming events. We're going to be broadcasting from the Building 429 show in April. There's a link out there for that. And if we can work it out, like there's a couple technical things we got to try to straighten out. But we're probably going to be broadcasting from the Audio Adrenaline show in Indianola within the first couple weeks of April. So that should be pretty cool, too.
Right on.
Lots of good stuff going on.
We're doing the Revelation thing?
I don't know. You were supposed to be checking on that.
Well, they said yes. The church said yes. We just got to get confirmation. I think it's kind of like just show up and he'll do it.
Oh, yeah. We can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're broadcasting a Revelation study. And that's April 6th, 7th, 5th, 6th, 7th.
It'd be the Friday and Saturday there.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, it should be lots of cool stuff coming on with our peripheral stuff. By the way, Life in the Path is brought to you by, graciously, by the folks at On Purpose Promotions. Jared Roy takes care of all our promotional items. He does hats, shirts. They do it. They print up like USB drives. Anything. You want your logo or face on something. Yeah. On Purpose Promotions can take care of it.
I check out their website quite a bit. I'm actually kind of astonished at all the things you can get your face onto.
It's outrageous.
It's awesome. Live from the Path Guitars.
He can.
That's going to get pricey.
I tell you what, he can make a shirt that makes me look stylish. And as we talked about previously, that's a difficult thing.
He's a wizard.
On Purpose Promos.
He's a wizard. OnPurposePromos.com. Check out Jared Roy. Also, Valley Services for all your residential and commercial cleaning needs. Listen here, the spring cleaning, they say that for a reason, and you dread it, and you don't do it right because you're lazy. And I'm sorry that's your life, but it is. But call the folks at Valley Services. Go to valleyservices.net. Those guys will help you out. Call them in. Set up for like a five. Sign up for like five times, and I guarantee you, you won't want to drop the service. Like you give it a shot, and you get used to someone coming in and spiffing up your place, and you'll be like, I don't know why I've been spending my time doing anything else. Valleyservices.net. Check them out. Also, Capata's Coffee and Gelato in Ames on Lincoln Way. The weather's going to start turning. Now's the time to get in your fall winter drinks. Get the hot ones. Get it in. Get it drinking. And then as the winter starts to change over into the spring, it's time to start hitting the gelato and hitting hard.
I promise you, you will not regret that. It's great gelato.
Now, wait. Does gelato cause headaches like ice cream if you eat it too fast? Same problem, right?
Yeah, it's the same problem.
Don't overdo it.
I'm not going to. Okay. Same problem.
It's not. They're not responsible if you do that at the Capanas.
Right. Okay. They will. They don't have any disclaimers for it, but they are not responsible.
Capanas Coffee and Gelato. Get the coffee now. Be prepared to overindulge on the gelato and bring something for the headache. What are you supposed to? How do you fight an ice cream headache? What are you supposed to do? Rub your belly.
Your
what do you
against
do?
The tip, the top of your mouth.
I just wait it out.
That's actually what you're supposed to do. If anyone's actually wondering.
Wait. There's no advice.
You put your tongue at the top of your mouth.
Why?
Because what happens when you're eating too cold of an article, what happens is it coats the top of your mouth with that cold, and the blood vessels get frozen pretty much. And when you put your tongue to the roof of your mouth, it's quickly heating back up your blood vessels, what actually takes care of the brain freeze that you're getting. Don't ask me why I know that.
No,
I
hold on a second.
I just do.
The sniff test 30 below. Does that sound accurate to you?
Yeah, you should be a scientist. Totally.
All right, thank you. I trust this guy. I feel like he knows what he's talking about, and I'm going to become a scientist now, talking about taking care of brain freezes.
That's weird. Okay, I'm with you. All right. Anyway, Capanas Coffee and Gelato, check them out. Oh, hey, and here's the deal. Now's also the time to sell your place.
Or buy a new one.
Get a gelato and sell your place. Call the Eisenlauer
first.
Team. Go to EisenlauerTeam.com. Bill and Bob Eisenlauer. Those guys are awesome. And they do a great job. And if you're looking for someone to help you out, I mean, really, they'll sit down with you. They'll figure out the best price for your house. And they'll help you find one that'll suit your needs. They're going to dig in and really walk the process with you. They're cool guys to hang around with, and they'll do a great job with you. So check them out, EisenlauerTeam.com. And if nothing else, if you don't need to sell your house, you don't like gelato, you keep a relatively clean joint, and you don't want your face on something, the very least, contact those guys and say, hey, thanks for sponsoring Life in the Path, because there's nobody in their right mind that would put us on legitimate radio if someone wasn't paying for it.
And that's those guys.
That's those guys that we're talking about. All right. I tell you what. Let's touch back in with 30 Below. Tell me about this next tune, Hold Me.
Okay. Well, this one's just kind of a fun one that's on the radio a lot by Jamie Grace. So we thought it'd be just kind of fun to put something on there that most people can kind of sing along with. I love the tune of it. The guitar is pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Wait. So are we allowed to sing along?
Yeah. If you want to sing along, you can
that's
sing
boss.
Along. Yeah.
Might know.
Yeah. So go right ahead. Idea. So it's just kind of a fun one.
I don't think you know what you're saying.
No, I think this is a good idea.
Am I walking into dangerous ground?
No, listen here. This is a great idea. This is fantastic.
We may have three backup singers on this one.
All right. All right. Well, we actually kind of need some more backup on this one. So, okay. Yeah,
feel free. Just sing in tune.
Oh.
How will I know?
Oh, well, hold on. He just put in a caveat. He says you got to sing in tune. Out. I'm out.
Out.
Okay.
Okay.
You're back on your own. Okay. All right.
I'm tone deaf. I'm
this
in.
Is Hold Me by 30 Below. You're listening to Live from the Path.
3, 4.
Had a long day, I just wanna relax. Don't have time for my friends, don't have time to chit-chat. Problems at my job, wondering what to do. I know I should be working, but I'm thinking of you. And just when I feel this crazy world is gonna bring me down, that's when your smile comes around. Ooh, I love love the way you hold me. By my side, you'll always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me. In your arms, I'll always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even loving you less. Lord, I love the way you hold me. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. Whoa, I love the way you hold me. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. Well, yeah, took my day and you flipped it around. Calmed the tidal wave and put my feet on the ground. Forever in my heart, always on my mind. It's crazy how I think about you all of the time. And just when I think I'm about to figure you out, you make me wanna sing and shout. I love the way you hold me. By my side, you'll always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me. In your arms, I'll always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even loving you less. Lord, I love the way you hold me. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. Whoa, I love the way you hold me. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. I'm so grateful and thankful for all you've done. Wish I could tell you in a short story or poem, but all I have is my voice and this guitar, and you have my heart. Ooh, I love the way you hold me. By my side, you'll always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me. In your arms, I'll always be. You take each and every day, every day, every day. Ooh, I love the way you hold me. By my side, you'll always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me. In your arms, I'll always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can't express. I can't imagine even loving you less. Lord, I love the way you hold me. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. Whoa, I love the way you hold me. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. Ooh, I love the way you hold me.
All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. That was 30 Below. Very good job, guys.
I've never heard that song. Yeah, it was. You've never heard that? I've never heard that.
You've never heard that?
I've never heard that.
You've never heard it?
Where have you been?
I've never heard that.
Do you even love Jesus?
I hope so. I think so. Yeah, no, that was really awesome. I like that.
Thanks.
You can find more information about 30 Below by checking out their Facebook page, or you can go to 30belowlive.com, find more information about them. I recommend the Facebook. Give them a like so you can find out what's going on in their lives. Look for future events, anything else they got going on. If you want to be informed, you got to like them on Facebook. That's what I would recommend. And very, 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 very good. We will have the clips for that posted on the website within this week. You can enjoy those at your leisure.
All right.
Okay, very good. I'm looking at you, Booba.
I can tell.
Okay, very good. All right, here's the deal. People need advice. They say, life from the path, times are tough. Things are rough. I need some help.
We're going to give you some help. That's what we're here to do.
Here we go. Dear Life from the Path, my friend Eden recently told me her husband constantly compares her to me. It came up because she asked how I was feeling in my first trimester of pregnancy, and I confided that I have been having a tough time keeping up with my household duties. Instead of sympathizing, she said, wow, I'll have to tell my husband that because he's always talking about how clean your house is and how you cook dinner for your family every night. I was really hurt that she was taking pleasure in my failures. I also felt uncomfortable that her husband compares her unfavorably to me. It isn't the first time she has mentioned how he talks about me. I have distanced myself, hoping things would get better, but when I see her, she invariably manages to get in a little dig. I'm unsure how to handle this. We're neighbors and have mutual friends. I thought we were friends, but now I realize she harbors some resentment toward me for something I didn't cause. Help! No contest in Maryland. Advice. Dan Hudson, what are your thoughts?
This may be the first time ever. I just listened to it and I thought, what? I mean, what?
Okay. That's what? Fair.
Yeah. I mean, there's some relationship difficulty there. you know, I think she's doing the right thing. She's backing off. I mean, it's not even really anything to confront the person on. It's just like, it's just an awkward relationship. So just keep backing out and keep going. I mean, I don't have a big deep big thought for her. I'm just kind of, or just suck it up and say, well, guess what? She's a better, you know, at doing stuff than you are.
No.
She's a better house cleaner, cook, whatever.
Okay. I think we can identify a couple problems here.
Yeah.
All right. The other husband is creepy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's just being a creeper.
Well, we don't know. I mean, she's feeling a little sensitive. She's.
I don't care.
Right, but I don't.
You don't
think
compare your wife to somebody else's
exactly.
wife. That is not acceptable.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever done that. I
mean, that's
a good thing.
It's not, yeah.
I think we're all agreeing that that's a good thing for you not to
wife.
Do.
Massages yeah. his feet and has dinner ready on time.
But I mean, it could be
what's wrong with you?
It could be they had four conversations ever, and she just happens to bring those up. It's like, that's all they ever talk about. It's like, probably not. Maybe she was saying, what do you think of Susie? Well, I don't know. She seems to be a good cook. Yeah, that's all she ever talks about. I mean, we don't know. I think she's hormonal. She's pregnant.
Okay. Don't say that to her face.
Okay, the guy, I'm sticking with the guy's still a dunce.
Yeah.
If anything is coming out of his mouth that could be construed as, look at this other guy's wife and what she does, that's dumb.
Yeah, this guy's a joker. He is, that's just, I mean.
That doesn't help her out, though.
No, I'm going to agree, but I'm going to say, with the foundation of that the husband's a joker.
I mean, I won't argue that.
Yeah.
Secondly, this other woman is also, I don't know. Does everybody have a friend where like somebody's just difficult to deal with?
Yeah,
it's talking
yeah.
about weird stuff, and you're like, they're not necessarily a bad person. They're not spreading vicious lies, but they're just like really awkward in the things they decide to say.
I have this friend named Ben. He's always bringing stuff up. I'm just like,
I've got this guy. I know his name's Dan.
Yeah,
most awkward socially person I've ever met in my entire life.
I probably met him. I have to tell my husband that because he's always talking about how clean your house is and how you cook dinner for your family every night. Does this mean this woman is refusing to cook dinner for her family?
Wait,
I mean,
so
maybe
she's
really starving her kids. Maybe she is.
So the So the husband is saying that this person whose email or whose contacting Life of the Path is saying that her husband says that she's great at this stuff, but she's actually not. Is that what that was?
No.
I think he's trying to figure out a way to motivate his wife and thinking if he gets a little female jealousy going on, well, she's always cleaning her
house.
He's
done this. That's probably what happened. He's done this.
Yeah.
He's a doofus, just like I said.
Yeah.
So what advice do we have for the person who's emailing?
We have some advice for the husband, but he's not asking for help.
They're not the ones asking for help. It's the person contacting us asking what she should do in this case with her friend.
Okay.
Talk to your husband.
So it's the other lady's husband that's the problem.
Right.
Right? Okay. So I got two pieces of advice. One, I would continue to back away from this woman.
Right.
She's weird. She's weird and difficult to deal with. It makes things awkward. And who needs the drama? You can run it on Netflix and control it. And have some lady in your place. Second of all, I'd talk to my husband if I was this lady and say, this guy's being a creeper. Can you go talk to him?
I think we need to hook them up with one of our sponsors that can help them find a new house.
Well, that's a good idea. They should move.
Okay. Let them know, hey, we know the Eisenlauer team.
Okay, here's what I think. Here's what I don't think is going to be all right. I feel like the Eisenlauer team is not going to change their slogan to move away from your problems with the Eisenlauer team.
I feel like it could be a secondary tagline.
The neighbor
that's all
is the problem. It's a creepy husband.
Yeah, I feel like for this person, she needs to distance herself more. She's doing the right thing by getting away and identifying the fact that her friend isn't stable to the point that...
Creepers do tend to congregate. I'm actually with Dan. I think the husband's a creeper and the lady's awkward, and that's how they got together.
Yeah.
They tend to come in like a pack of... You made a creepy...
A pack of creepers.
A creepy
marriage. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You either have to live with it or go ahead and move.
How bad would it have to be for you to have to move?
Yeah, I can't... I think I would just kind of like... Stop talking to them before I uproot my entire family.
You've had to change your you've had to change your entire life. Like when you walk out to get the mail and you see somebody, you have to like not say hi.
I feel like you don't need to go that.
Well, that's an infringement upon the terrorists of one, Boova. If that's what you're doing, you're not even saying hi as you're walking outside.
I never said I wouldn't say hi. I would just distance myself more.
A lot of it depends. If you have small children, they're going to be outside. You're going to be out there. You can, as an adult, not be outside.
I think as an adult, you should probably just say the common passing of, oh, hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
You don't need to go out to lunch with the person. You don't need to hang out in their living room when they're cooking dinner or, in this case, dinner.
What if she comes over? A pregnant woman comes and knocks on your door. You slam it in her face.
No.
Go about your business.
Then you do the common courteous thing, and you just handle the situation.
She comes over every day. She's pregnant. She got nothing better to do. I'm just saying.
I feel like we're going to the full extreme of this, to where this person is so crazy and so creepy
that they're going to be coming over
to my house every day for the entire time that I live next to them.
I didn't say they were trying to live in your place. I'm just saying every day, roughly 10 a.m., they come over and want to see if you want some iced tea.
Okay, then you answer every day around 10 a.m., no, I think I'm passing the iced tea today.
All right, here's the deal. We don't know how to deal with ladies. What are your thoughts?
Well, I...
Look at it. It's obvious that we don't.
Yeah, we have no idea what we're doing.
We just want to yell at the husband. That's the only thing we've come up with.
The writer is in a very difficult situation. I think what she's doing is great by backing away. And she has to realize that, you know, it's not really her problem that the other husband thinks she's so great. I mean, she shouldn't beat herself up over that. I think it's more of a problem with that couple themselves. Maybe they should go see, I don't know, counseling or something.
Right.
Because something bigger is really going on. So I think just stepping back, just getting away, being, yeah.
She can't help it. She's a Proverbs 31 woman.
Yeah, I most certainly would not say to the other woman, though, I can't help
it.
I'm so great. It's not really so awesome. It's not my problem.
Solomon talked about me at the end of Proverbs.
Okay. That seems like
yeah, I think what you said about her telling her husband, I think that's a good thing. Just keep them informed because that guy is a little creepy.
Go talk to this creepy who keeps talking about me to his wife.
He's creepy.
Yeah. All right. Here's a secular advice. Unless Eden's husband stops using you as the cudgel to beat her down with.
Ooh, wow.
Cudgel. you could forget being friends. A way to handle it would be to talk to her husband and say, please stop comparing me to your wife because it's affecting our friendship! Exclamation point. Are you serious? The advice is to have the one woman go to the creep husband and accuse him? Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, because this guy doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's going to retaliate some way with that. Not necessarily.
Oh, you know, you're right. I was completely inappropriate there.
I was completely inappropriate. I apologize for talking to my wife about you.
Anyway,
maybe go out for coffee and talk about
this. Do you guys want iced tea around 10 a.m. every morning?
Do you want to borrow my cudgel? I feel like I don't need it.
I feel like I no longer need the cudgel to beat down your friendship. If you'd like to borrow it anytime, let me know.
All right, here we go. Dear Life in the Path, whenever my best friend smells a cough drop, she comments that it's rude to eat one in public, and that if someone is sick, the person should stay home. I would much rather smell someone's cough drop than listen to coughing during an entire movie or opera. sorry, the opera part's funny. Some people may have bought... I don't relate to it. I don't see a movie or opera.
you got two options for entertainment, then. Movie or opera, you choose.
It's the only thing that goes on.
I thought the Phantom took care of that opera.
Some people may have bought expensive tickets to a show only to get sick the day before or have allergies that cause them to cough. So is it rude to eat a cough drop in public or not? Okay, I'm going to give you the initial start, 30 Below. What are your thoughts? Cough drop in public, rude or not rude?
I don't think so. I don't think it's rude.
What about his point? They should have just stayed home.
Yeah, you need to figure out how sick you are. If it's just a cough and you're not really, like, super, super sick, I would much rather have you have a cough drop than cough all over me or something. But I don't know.
But if you're down with the flu or something really crazy, stay home.
Like if you're hefting everywhere?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're sick, really stay home. Don't spread the germs around.
Got the soundtrack of bronchitis going on right next to you. You don't want to hear it.
Well, but. Yeah, but I think they would contend, if I were the writer, that, I mean, what's the measure of sick? What's really sick?
Right. Is there?
You got tickets to the opera, man. What's going to keep you away?
Then we're even going on to how much did it cost you to get these tickets to the opera? Was it like a $5 deal at the local come
and go? It's the Puccini Probably revival not. Coming through town.
I no idea.
I saw it in a movie once.
Fair enough.
I think Puccini's a real guy. Either that or it's a pasta.
I'm going to have to say, I would say no, it's not offensive to eat cough drops in public. Because I think the problem started with, I don't like the smell of your cough drops.
Right.
Like, it didn't even start with, if you're sick, get away from me. It started with, hey, those cough drops smell terrible.
Wouldn't you also have to hate gum and alcohol?
Pretty much.
I mean, or anything, or
it's
garlic.
Like, oh, like, you smell like NyQuil. Get away from me.
Yeah.
You're offensive.
You had Italian for lunch. Gross.
Your body odor is offensive. What do you smell like, Ricola? Get away from me.
Dan?
I'm in agreement with you guys. I would much rather have a cough drop, although they are, you know, you can smell someone 10, 15 feet away if they have a cough drop. I know because I do a lot of cough drops. I have coughs in the winter, but I'm not sick at all. I just cough. During a cough drop, the cough's gone. And I try not to, you know, do too much, but, you know, sometimes you just got to throw a cough drop in.
10 to 15 feet away?
I can.
You can smell a cough drop from 15 feet away.
I kid you not. I can be outside and a car can drive by and I can tell you if they were smoking.
Okay, that I understand, but a cough drop I don't know about. All right. We're just going to go ahead and go with
you.
Can smell
you have cats.
Dan Hudson can smell a cough drop from 15 feet away. You should put on a resume. Be awesome.
For what?
For anything.
Annoying guy in the neighborhood?
No, special skills.
Three houses down has cats. I can smell it.
They have a special set of skills
that
acquired
over
the years. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. I can smell a cough drop 15 feet away. I feel like that's something you can throw in any conversation.
I lost my garlic bulb. I got it.
Don't worry. And my beautiful, wonderful wife, Cheryl, puts my nose to shame. She could smell someone three houses away in the restroom and go, oh, cough drop.
All right.
Okay, here it is.
Awesome.
If it was bad manners to pop a cough drop into one's mouth in public, more than a few large brands would be out of business. That is a statement of fact, but it is not necessarily a yes or no.
It's just something
that would happen.
Bad news for holes.
Yeah. While I agree with your friend that if people are sick, they should stay home, some coughs linger beyond the stage when they are contagious. I do not think that because someone bought expensive tickets to an event and gets sick the day before that it's all right to attend anyway and risk infecting everyone within cough shot.
True.
The considerate thing to do is to cancel, and here is the most bogus bit of advice I've ever heard, and ask for a refund. That does not happen.
Yeah.
They don't give you a refund because you got a cough that day.
I really want to see South Pacific tomorrow, but unfortunately, I've got a cough. Yeah. Can I have my money back?
I got in trouble at a play once. We were in London, and I saw we went to go see Les Mis, and we were on the balcony, and we left the back door open. So, like, the light was streaming through.
Oh, how dare you.
And there was a very attractive actress playing one of the characters, and she ratted us out and said, those guys up there have the door open. And it was embarrassing.
You ruined.
How did you know that the attractive actress ratted
us out? They said, they told her which one did it. They said it was Fontaine.
Oh.
Whatever. Well, Fontaine is bothered
Fontaine.
By it. And I said, okay.
How do I know that?
Bummer.
Was it her husband?
No.
Saying... Hey, never mind.
No.
Correlating the other proof there.
Yeah.
Or, excuse me.
All right, here we go. Last one. Dear Life of the Path, I have a friend in another state who has been posting on Facebook about her diagnosis of cancer. Her posting started in October, followed by more postings about delay after delay in the treatment. First it was insurance. She doesn't have any. Then it was multiple CAT scans and PET scans. Now she's planning her own fundraiser, and I'm beginning to think she has made the whole thing up. It looks like there will be no treatment until after the fundraiser, even though she claims the cancer is stage 4. What do you think? Potential fake cancer. Dan, what are your thoughts?
It has happened. If you're that concerned, I wouldn't give. Or you can't even call the doctor with all the laws these days. They won't tell you anything. Wow.
What are you going to ask, dear so-and-so?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they have fake cancer?
Yeah. Does this person really have cancer? Like, really?
How embarrassing is that phone call if you're wrong?
Especially
that's
if you're
wrong. That's
very
awesome.
I don't think you go
cancer.
Right out and say that. Maybe you call family members. Hey, how's she doing? You know, how's you know, and just kind of, you can be a little more backhanded maybe about.
I feel like you could, yeah, exactly. You could go in. I think you could ask the person for more and more details. Like, what's going on?
Now, has it spread?
Yeah, exactly.
Where's it at?
Unless they're, like, great at researching and coming up with. It's not terrible. Cancer lies. You might flip them up just a couple times. So I feel like, yeah, the best thing is don't give if you really feel like it's a sham. But if you really want to go into it, maybe you can research a little bit. Yeah. Talk to them. Get the details.
The difficulty I have with things like that, and people have them, and you know, you kind of want to help because, like, well, I understand it's a big deal. But it's not going to put a dent. In I mean, especially if they don't have insurance and stuff, it won't put a dent in the bill. It won't. I mean, it'll be just nothing. I don't care if you raise $100,000; it's still just like whatever.
Right.
So they're ultimately going to, if they have no help anywhere, they're going to file bankruptcy. I mean, they humanly can't take care of the situation. So
yeah, if you don't have insurance and get an ambulance ride, you're paying $5,000.
Unless it's like taking care of their living expenses,
right?
Which they need as well, you know. That's a different story. It's like, well, you gotta help them out a little bit, you know, if it's legitimate and everything. But it's not going to help pay any doctor bill. It's just not.
All right. So as a general thought, just don't give. Everybody agree with it? Don't give.
No, I'd investigate more.
Yeah, some investigating.
Yeah, because you want to help someone if you can. I mean, you know, if it's legitimate, that they're truly there's not, you know, what can you, you know, they didn't like ask for cancer. They're not like. Thinking, cool, I got an opportunity to have a fundraiser. I mean, you know, they probably need it. I mean, all right.
Secular advice is, I think if there's any doubt in your mind about this woman's character, you should not contribute. I also think that if your suspicions are true, your friend is planning to commit fraud and could wind up recuperating in prison.
Uh-huh.
I really, it wasn't advice. That last sentence was just kind of snark. It was just snark.
I was wondering how she should be recuperating from a fake disease.
It was in quotes.
Yeah, the recuperating was...
You're listening to Life on the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us this week. Thank you so much. We do appreciate it. Big thanks to 30 Below for coming in. Thank you guys very much. You can catch us every Monday night at 10 o'clock here on LifeOnThePath.org or Saturdays at 7 o'clock on 99.3 KTIA. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a wonderful week.